Oh, goodness. Where was I? Oh, God. So I've had a crazy day today. Yesterday was also crazy. I got a phone call at the very end of my my car cast, which I like to keep around half an hour. But had I not gotten that phone call, I probably would have continued rambling. But just to finish up about what I was saying with the police, I was thinking more about it today because something also involving law enforcement and the prosecution of crimes happened today that was huge also. So I realize I say a lot. Like filler words. Maybe I should work on that. I didn't use to use filler words whenever we were doing our regular podcast. Maybe it's because I was drinking. And whenever I'm doing the car cast, I'm obviously not drinking because I don't drink and drive. So I was talking about the police and how they, it seemed like in a lot of ways that they were working, I don't know how to really describe it. I say working against us as far as the Patriot community. And as for what our goals were, obviously whenever we were at the Capitol, we didn't come to the Capitol to pick a fight with anyone or harass anyone or do anything like that. In the videos, like I said, there's a 3-hour video on Common Sense Conservatives page. You can see that the Patriots are standing there kind of with our back against the wall, being pelted with objects, projectiles, mortar rounds, bricks and bottles, and not really doing much in retaliation of that. We didn't go looking for Antifa either. We were at the Capitol. We started at the Capitol. We finished at the Capitol building. And Antifa started in a completely different park across town, marched all the way across town to come and find us and try to fight us. So that's another key thing. And we were all there. We saw them leaving the park and coming around because you could see way down across the water to the park on the other side. If you've ever been to the Washington State Capitol, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But they marched quite a ways around town and at some point coordinated splitting forces in half in order to, for one group to go one way, the other group to try to come around and flank us. This is a very coordinated and premeditated attack. And like they say that Antifa is not a group and they don't have leadership and all this stuff. Well, individuals, they all make up their mind. Everyone doesn't make up their mind to do the exact same thing on their own whim. Someone comes up with a plan. Someone says that plan. People agree to that plan. And people follow that plan because they believe in the leadership of the person making the plan. You can't convince me that all these people are just free-thinking people that just all came up with this exact same plan and executed it by chance all together in a large group marching around a city. That's just absurd to think that that happened. So while they were executing their little plans, law enforcement was also working to split the Patriot groups up into smaller groups, which I really don't understand because at the end of the day, like I said, their intention was not to protect people whatsoever. Their intention was to protect property, and that was very clear. I tried to get in touch with the sheriff from that I was in contact with whenever we were down there, and nobody will sit down and talk to me. Nobody wants to have a conversation with these groups, and that's what I really don't understand, is that typically if you were, say I was in the leadership position in some kind of law enforcement entity, and one of the leaders for these groups just said, hey, I want to sit down and talk about strategy, like what are we going to do to stop the violence from happening and stop the rioting and the looting and all these things, what do you need from us, like what can we do, even if it is just to say, hey, stop fucking showing up. If they want to tell us to not show up or whatever, obviously we're not gonna do that, but why does no one want to have a conversation? I've noticed this more and more when it comes to law enforcement and things like that, as I guess, you know, they feel like that they have their job under control, but they're not doing their jobs, and that's what's forcing Patriots out of their homes to come and try to protect land, property, and people. So basically when we were downtown, we were obviously being assaulted, and if I was to take a rock on a random day and throw it at another person, you know, a huge, like a brick, a half a brick basically, and throw it at another person, I could be charged with attempted murder. That's, or, you know, at least assault with a deadly weapon. That brick could kill someone. And if someone, regular everyday citizen was to call the cops and say, hey, this guy tried to hit me with a brick, I would be arrested and held accountable in the court of law. But for some reason, whenever it's a group of patriots just standing at the Capitol waving flags, and a whole group of anarchists march across town to the Capitol, onto the Capitol grounds, and attack, assault, and destroy the property of the Capitol, which is taxpayer property, by the way, when they do that, the cops do nothing. So I really don't understand why the double standard, and why, and like I said, we always say fuck the police bosses, because it's them giving the orders from the top down. You know, I wonder how many of these cops would stand up and do their job if they were allowed to. I don't know. I'd like to think a lot, but after seeing the things that I've been seeing for the last few rallies and meetups, I just don't believe that's the case. And it's pushing the true patriots, the people that really believe in law enforcement and, you know, the protection of the Constitution by force of law, by enforcing the law that we've all decided to follow to be civilized, a civilized society and civilized people. We've decided, yeah, rape is wrong, murder is wrong, assaulting people's wrong, doing what Antifa's doing, burning, rioting and looting, doing what BLM has been doing in all these major cities. We have decided as a society that that is a wrongful behavior if you want to be a civilized citizen and live in a peaceful society. And then we charge these police officers with maintaining good order and discipline within the society, protecting and serving the citizens that are paying their fucking paychecks. And they have decided at this point that they are no longer going to do that job, and that they don't work for the people anymore and won't be held accountable to the people, that they are only going to be held accountable to their superiors. And in a lot of cases, those are politicians. In the case of, you know, Portland, Oregon, where the mayor has forced the police commissioner into resignation through bad decision making and funding cuts and budget cutting, forced him to resignate a couple of years ago, resign a couple of years ago, and then took over the responsibilities himself as the police commissioner. So he's the mayor and the police commissioner. And then he tells the officers, he forces a stand down order to his officers so that they don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to enforcing the law against Antifa and Black Lives Matter radical terrorists in their city. And that's the same thing that's happening in Vancouver now, and that's the same thing that's happening in Olympia, Washington now. And in a lot of ways, I am starting to realize that these people, the taxpayers, the citizens that live in these towns, that this is what they wanted. Voting will not remove these people. Voting will not stop Antifa. Voting a Republican into an office won't stop them. Voting a Democrat into an office won't stop them. Nothing's going to stop these Antifa terrorists from terrorizing people, not even making something illegal, like, I don't know, throwing Molotov cocktails at law enforcement officers. That's illegal. Murder's illegal. Michael Christensen did it. You know, he murdered Jay in cold blood, premeditated. You can see in the video, he's clearly stalking him. And then bringing it to my next point is, you know, Shane Moon. Right after the Jay's memorial service, Jay Bishop's memorial service in the park, Esther Shore Park, we got in our cars and drove up to a local bar there in Vancouver, Washington. And while we were at that bar, a BLM radicalist comes into the bar, starts harassing people, putting his phone in people's faces, recording everyone, going table to table, recording people and their wives, just having dinner. And so we said, dude, what are you fucking doing? Get out of here. Leave us alone. So he's like, fuck you, fuck you. He's giving us all the finger, like trying to start fights and everything. We're like, dude, just get the fuck out of here. Leave us alone. So finally he goes and sits down, and then he takes out his phone and he starts taking pictures and stuff again. And then he gets into an argument with someone next to him, not even a Proud Boy, not even anything to do with our group at all, just a regular person. He gets into an argument with them. So finally the bouncer's like, yeah, you got to get the fuck out of here. He goes outside where there's a few patriots just arriving from the rally. that are walking across the parking lot from their cars into the bar. He sees one guy with what he believes is a Proud Boy hat on, which this guy was just a regular patriot, Shane Moon, sees him in the parking lot, guns his truck for him, and hits him with his truck in front of dozens of witnesses. People inside the bar who had seen the commotion, seen him get kicked out, and are then now window watching him leave, you know, and just blown away by the fact that he was so brazen. And then he floors it and hightails it out of the parking lot. Another guy tries to chase him down, doesn't get much except for his license plate, which is pivotal in pinpointing who he was. It was only a matter of time before the 4chan guys did their thing and found out his actual identity, though he had tried to conceal it on multiple different platforms under the name Robbie Smith. We then found out that what his true name was, and we gave that information to law enforcement. We basically handed law enforcement this guy on a silver platter and handed them video of the incident, handed them my video, which is on YouTube, my YouTube page, James Halpert, 1978. Put that video on all over YouTube and of, you know, the aftermath of him getting hit and everything. Like I said, dozens of witnesses. And law enforcement, okay. So we file the, you know, they file their police report. They file charges with the prosecuting attorney's office, hit and run, first degree assault, blah, blah, blah. The whole rap. They issue a warrant for his arrest. He turns himself in a couple of days later. And then he's in jail. Well, then he gets bail. It was like $100,000. So I think they had to come up with like 10 grand. They paid his bail, I believe. This is what I've been told, because I know he didn't have 10 grand in the bank. They paid his bail out of the BLM. God damn it. The BLM bail fund, which they have set up over in Portland for activists that get arrested rioting and looting. I'm not joking. This is a real thing. It's all over the United States. Raised billions of dollars. The BLM causes raised billions of dollars. So they paid his bail out of that. And once they did that, he got out. So then they kept pushing his court date, delay in the arraignment, delay in the charges, everything, until finally, after the fourth delay, and Shane's wife, Laura, is following the entire thing all the time, emailing back and forth with the prosecutor's office, everything. Finally, they send her an email saying that he's exonerated. Fucking exonerated. That the prosecuting office is not going to press any charges against him. And no other information, no reasoning, no anything. Just that, nope, we're not pressing charges. Meanwhile, Shane was in the hospital for 4 days with a traumatic brain injury, bleeding on his brain. Out of work for months because he could not go to work and do his job. Couldn't do anything about it. Like, couldn't do his work because he was a welder. He's a very skilled welder, but he was photosynthesized. He was photosensitive. And so just being outside in the sun, even when it was overcast and stuff, would give him extreme migraines after the accident. He's getting better now. Like I said, he's in recovery. But, you know, therapy, you know, tens of thousands of dollars for the ambulance ride, the hospital stay, the therapy, all of the things that he had to pay into. And not only was Robert Smith's bail, Robert Charles Smith, I believe is his name, not only was his sentence exonerated, so was his bail. So they paid his bail money back to the people that paid his bail. So this guy is getting off scot-free after mowing someone down in a parking lot, after being kicked out of the bar for trying to start fights with everybody and doing all this crazy bullshit, runs a guy down and gets away scot-free. And people wonder why the Patriots are getting fucking fed up and getting done with this system and done with this bullshit. And why the Patriots are starting to lose their cool because I believe people are just done. People are done seeing this injustice happening. People are done with law enforcement not doing their job. People are done with the prosecuting attorneys letting these guys get off on crimes. They're only prosecuting patriots. In Portland, an Antifa guy gets arrested for fucking rioting and looting. He's out the same night. There's some guys that have been arrested 3-4 times in one fucking day. In one day in Portland. And then a patriot gets picked up on the streets and he's in jail months awaiting his trial. No bail. You know, one guy for defending himself. No bail. In jail for months, loses his job, loses everything. He had to, you know, file for bankruptcy in jail because he couldn't, you know, pay for his house and everything. And he didn't want his wife to have to lose literally everything. Everything they had for self-defense. Which is, like I said, again, that also, that incident was caught on video. And the guy was obviously defending himself. He was attacked. Ugh, whatever. It's just so frustrating. But then the Antifa guys are like, you know, you're a radicalist, you're a radicalist. Like, no, I'm not a radicalist. I'm just a regular guy. Can you leave me the fuck alone so I can live my life, you know, and go about my day. Just leave me alone. And no, they keep going and going and going and can't fucking stop until Antifa, I believe, is the one radicalizing so many people on the right. And I think this is part of whoever's plan this is, George Soros, whoever. I think it's their plan. They took these weak-minded little men, these beta males, gave them money, gave them hope, right? Started buying them things, giving them the tools to create chaos in the streets because they knew that they couldn't buy patriots. George Soros knows they can't buy patriots to the country. They can't buy nationalists. People who love this country and will defend it can't be bought. So they go to the weaker men. You know, the vagrants of society, the slop, the gross little fucking trash juice at the bottom of the can after you just make a dump run. He takes those guys, gives them a little bit of money, you know, starts mailing out anarchist cookbooks to them, starts fucking bringing in pallets of bricks and you know, it into the cities and dropping them off in the middle of the street where there's no construction zones, no anything. You know, in the middle of what they know is going to be a BLM attack because they also control the media. And, you know, whenever there's anything that happens, I mean, there could be, if you look up the numbers, just raw numbers, how many white people are killed by police every year and how many black people are killed by police, what the ratios are, especially with who's committing what crimes, you know, what percentage of the population is committing what percentages of the crimes when it comes to race. If you really wanted to start a race war, like I said, you would go to, you know, the weaker people in society, people that need you. You know, African Americans in this country have been basically left to their own devices in these cities that have been destroyed by Democrats, and they don't have any hope left. And so someone comes along and says, hey, you know what? What if you guys just overturn the government? Create your own government. Well, the thing is, these guys don't have the tools that it takes to run their own society. If they did, then their own cities would be a lot fucking better than they are now. If they had the tools to create a utopia, then Chicago, Baltimore, you know, Portland, Philadelphia, these cities would not be, you know, even New York, you know, Brooklyn, these cities would not be the epicenters of violence, rape, murder. They wouldn't be the hubs of all things crime in this country. Look up the top 10 cities in America when it comes to crime. Now look up the top 10 demographics of those cities. Like, these things aren't just coincidences, and it's like this for a reason. This is how the system has been set up, and this is how these guys wanted shit to go. Because chaos pays. War pays. Right? Blood pays. The news don't make a living off of telling happy stories. They make a living off of despair and, you know, heinous crime, shock value news. You know, these major news corporations, like, this is how they make their living. So, of course, whenever there's any incident that happens, if a black man gets shot by a cop, even if it's not under suspicious circumstances, when the guy clearly has a weapon, he's charging at the police officer with a knife, and the police officer shoots him in self-defense, trying to protect his own life. Because had the cop not shoot the guy, then the guy would kill the police officer. No doubt about it. 10 out of 10. If a guy has a gun and he's trying to assault a cop, then he will kill that cop if that cop doesn't defend himself. There's nothing that's going to stop him. So, anyway, the cop defends himself and boom, bull riots, full blown fucking riots. So all they got to do is get a whiff of this story breaking, that this is about to happen, and then send in pallets of bricks. Just straight off flatbeds. Hold on just a second. Okay, I'm back. Jesus, dude. I got a phone call that was really important. So, anyway, where was I? Cops, everything. The police, the prosecuting attorneys not doing anything. I think Antifa's radicalizing more people than would have normally been radicalized anyway. I think that these things are escalating in the way that they are directly because of the police's lack of response to the violence and the criminality that's happening in our cities right now. And I think that it will continue to escalate until something extreme happens. I don't know what that's going to be. I'm not advocating for any kind of extremacy whatsoever or anything like that. All right, so I don't want fucking... This is going to be in the FBI files at my fucking trial for some fucking reason. But no, I'm not. I don't advocate for any kind of extremism on any side. But I do believe that it's going to take something extreme, extraordinary happening before people take action that actually need to take action, before law is really enforced. And I think that before anything like that happens, that maybe we'll have martial law. Maybe, I'm not sure. I don't know what'll happen. But I want something to happen to keep people safe, because I'm sick of seeing people getting mowed down in the streets. I'm sick of seeing people being murdered, patriots being murdered and killed and can't go home to their families. You know, Shane Mood laid up in the hospital, you know, bleeding in his fucking head. All for what? Because you don't like our politics? Because you don't like the fact that we just want to raise families and, you know, and support our families and have kids? Because you hate heterosexuality? I don't get it. I don't fucking get what, you know, nobody can explain to me what's so bad about being a conservative. Because we like guns and we think that everyone should be able to defend themselves at any point in time. It's not the patriots that have a problem with guns. It's not the patriots out there committing gun violence crimes and fucking and mass murders and all this other crazy shit. It's not these regular everyday people. You know, these people that are doing this, the vast majority of mass shootings in this country are perpetuated by African Americans, and the vast majority of those shootings are perpetuated by African Americans that don't have licenses to own firearms, and they're in gun-free zones or areas that don't allow firearms. Look at how many mass shootings. If you look up, just go into Google search and type in, you know, three or more, just any number, five people shot this weekend in Chicago. You know, six people shot this weekend in Chicago. Go and look up mass shooting incidents in Chicago. Firearms are banned in Chicago. You're not allowed to have at all. But go and look at how many mass shootings have happened this year so far. So all those guys are criminals committing those crimes. And then look up those guys and then see if they've ever been arrested before they committed all these crimes. And my guarantee is that 99% of these guys who are doing these mass shootings and there's gang violence and all this shit that's happening in these cities, they have a rap sheet a mile long. And they're not in jail. Because bail reform, I guess. I'm not 100% sure. Because they're told that they, you know, they should get another chance. They should do other stuff. How many times? That's what I'm saying. Is how many times does it really take? And then it's like, well, we have too many black people in prison. It was the funniest fucking thing to me ever, is because I have buddies who work at the jail here in Kitsap County, and I talked to them and I was like, "Hey man, how about that fucking Black Lives Matter rally outside your jail? And they were like, that's fucking crazy, dude. You know, they have, you know, 2,300 offenders in that jail. He's like, we have like 2,300 offenders. There's like 12 black people. Like, the overwhelming majority of people incarcerated in that jail are white people. And if you really want to talk about racial demographics in jail, as far as criminality goes, blacks are underrepresented in Kitsap County Jail. And it's because, I don't know, like I said, maybe it's like with a woman thing where women get lesser time for the same crimes, especially if they're a mother. That's a fact. You can look that up too. But I'm not saying every single time, but the vast majority of time. And then Harvard did a study on how much time people are spending in prison and for what crimes. And they actually found, because they were trying to prove that blacks are getting more time in prison, and it proved quite the opposite, actually. It proved that white people are spending more in more time in jail for lesser crimes. And you can look that study up too. Gee, that's the thing with car episodes, though. I don't have like all my sources right in front of me. I wish I did, but you can look up, you can just Google search that and find that it's a true thing. It's just crazy. It's crazy how race has become such the epicenter for division in this country. Whenever we had come so far, man, the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King went above and beyond to desegregate America. And what does today's youth want? What is today's BLM, Antifa cries? They're crying to segregate us again. They want separate amenities now for blacks, better amenities than what whites have. They want to oppress whites, and they want to raise blacks above. And that's, to me, I'm like, well, what happened to where everyone's equal now? You know, for years and years, you're like, hey, you know, equality, equality, equality. It's like, all right, everyone's equal. There's no inherently racist laws. If you go and look up the laws, I mean, yeah, feel free to send a law to me at rexfergieferg@gmail.com. Feel free. Send me a law or anything, if you can find one, that says, you know, black guys can't do this, but whites can. Just, it doesn't have to be in those words, just anything along those lines to where the law would affect blacks more than whites because of the way it was written. You know, maybe if there was a law that said curly haired people can't walk on the left side of the streets on Sundays, and then a black guy was walking, like, yeah, I could see that, right? You could sell that to me. But yeah, good luck finding a fucking law that's inherently racist by nature. They're just not out there, because the laws weren't written for only white people. And the laws that were written for only white people way back in the fucking day, 250 fucking years ago, they have since been amended to be all inclusive. And then not only do we have full inclusion of the law, we also have things like affirmative action, which give minorities and minority groups, which is basically everyone except for white men, because, you know, women are considered a protected class, right? Gender, race, creed, whatever. Gender and race are protected classes. And women get preferential hiring points under those laws, under those practices. And I don't know. So the only people that don't get any special hiring, hiring preference or preference points or minority tax relief or anything like that, literally the only ones who have to pay full taxes every time, all the time, and have to, you know, get jobs based on merit and not skin color. Basically, the only people that don't have white privilege cards are white men. So I'm not really even sure how racial division has become such a thing in this country. Maybe it's because white men just aren't inherently violent people. You know, conservative people aren't inherently violent people. So, you know, typically conservatives just roll over. They're like, yeah, man, whatever. Doesn't affect my pay. Doesn't affect my day. That's the kind of people that conservatives typically are. And like I said, in politics, that's kind of how it is. There's people who want to be left alone. There's people that won't fucking leave them alone. So who's to blame whenever those people won't fucking leave them alone. It's like that. It's like those little fucking, it's like the, I don't know. It's like a weird thing. Like I said in my last episode, I believe that Antifa thinks that they are the heroes in this comic book, but in all actuality, they're like the skinny fucking nerd Randall from Recess. Look up some videos of Randall from Recess. That's Antifa. They're fucking snitches. They're fucking, they're pathetic losers. Wrinkly little worms. The water at the bottom of the trash can. They're hot dog water. They're basically hot dog water that's been sitting in the bottom of a dumpster. If you took a screwdriver into Portland and you took a hammer and you hammered that screwdriver into the bottom of a dumpster behind a Chinese restaurant, the stuff that would spill out from the very bottom, if you made a little hole right there, you know the edge I'm talking about. If you just put a little hole in there, the juices that would start flowing out of there, that's Antifa's contribution to society. That's who they are as people. And rich people, for some reason, are trying to make that, is they're trying to make that significant. And I don't understand it. I don't understand it. But anyway, I guess I'll see you guys on the next car episode.